Thank you for joining me. I'm Julie Ballou, and this is Rape the Podcast. I have to apologize. I am a few weeks behind where I'd hoped to be in this season. I had an episode of cyclic vomiting syndrome, which is a really frustrating, rare illness that doctors don't know much about. And I'm lucky to know what sets mine off is when I accidentally eat gluten. So I got glutened by some cheeky, I guess, flour tortilla chips that a waiter told me was corn. I mention this because it took me 4 decades to get this problem I've had where I wake up with a migraine and then I proceed to puke over and over again until the sun goes down. It's somehow related to our circadian rhythms, but since it evolved from one day to puking for a week, I diagnosed myself with cyclic vomiting syndrome, CVS, and found a doctor 3 hours away that knows what it is, so I'm managing it the best I can. I want to mention this because I know that more people suffer from it, and they just don't know what it is, so they can't get a handle on it. So I just wanted to mention it to you guys. Finding your trigger is key, and I just got lucky when my daughter suggested that gluten could possibly be the cause. Stress is usually one of the main ingredients in CVS's mystery recipe, so I've been reflecting on what is going on with me. Truly thought I was in a good place. I have really spiritually grown immensely in the last 6 months, even. But there's so much going on in the world right now, and maybe my cup just got too full. So, you know, I'm trying to take better care of myself, and I hope you guys are too. On that note, I usually like to warn people to stay aware of their emotions and mindset as they listen to this podcast, where we open up the discussion of sexual assault on how communities like mine can get better on how we support survivors of rape and sexual assault. So have a plan if you think your heartbeat is speeding up or if your shoulders are all scrunched up around your ears. Or here's what I do. I twist my ankles around and around like I'm trying to run when my fight or flight kicks in. But man, it's always around the corner, so it's important to stay alert. I was doing a lot of deep breathing on the day I met Janice at Neighbor's Mill to get the latest news on Springfield's sexual assault task force recommendations that were made to the city council back in 2019. Wait, it's 2022, right? Just checking. This was two women trying to get their heads around some terrible news on a beautiful day in Springfield, Missouri. With Janice Thompson again. She was a guest on our first season of Rape the Podcast, but it's a very solemn day. Today is the day that Roe versus Wade was reversed, and I got the news while I was on my way to come meet her. It's really hit me a lot harder than I expected it to. I can't even control the emotions in my voice. It effectively overturned the rights of women to get abortions constitutionally. And I don't know about you, Janice, but I just feel like this is a sign that, and then we're in Missouri, so our attorney general just was the first one to ban it. Right. We're the first state to officially ban it.
Right.
And that's Missouri. That's where we live.
Yes.
And if you watch, there's elections happening, and every commercial on TV right now is anti-abortion and anti-gun legislation, and we're just in this conservative hole. And you and I don't follow that political thinking.
No.
At all.
And it's not because of a lot of the assumptions people have of us that are pro-choice.
Yeah.
For me personally, it's because I have seen the hell of being forced into a pregnancy with someone who is not safe, who should not be around a houseplant, let alone a child. And, you know, for all the people that are hooraying and thinking that they are saving babies, you're not. You're not. You're subjecting people to hells that you can't imagine. I'm a little numb right now. It is rare for me to be completely speechless. Those who know me well know that I am probably the first one to step in it, but today hurts. And it's not because I have this, it's because I know the reality.
Right.
I know what women, children who have been raped, who are without even the words to describe what has been done to them, who will be forced to carry pregnancies that they don't even understand to term, to share custody. What do you say? What do you say? This is not a celebration today. This is a understanding that there is a hell that my grandchildren will face.
But it's also lit a fire.
Yeah.
I believe in me, at least I'm lit up.
Yes. This is one of those things where I you know, in any tragedy, this is a tragedy. It's okay to have our days of feeling hopeless.
Yes.
And process that, because when we do that, we come back stronger and we find another way.
Absolutely. That's a great way to look at it. Good advice.
Yeah. So
let's be pissed.
We're going to be pissed. We're going to be broken, but we're going to rise up as we always do.
Yeah, we're resilient.
We are, because we've had no other choice. This is the beast that was made by limiting our choices.
And women like us who have struggled just to stay alive every day.
Yes.
We're strong. And
yes.
we're going to show them how strong we are.
Right.
And we're not going to be quiet.
Make no mistake. These tears are not weakness.
Right. I talked with City Councilman Craig Hosmer. It was a few months ago, and I wanted to get an update on the recommendations from the Sexual Assault Task Force, the recommendations that came out, was it 2019?
2019, yes, pre-COVID.
So long ago.
Yes, pre-COVID.
And really not much has happened.
Right.
I feel like there's still good intentions. I feel like there's still a desire to see these recommendations come to fruition, but really nothing much has happened. They were going to appoint some people to a committee, another committee, to come up with research. Now, there was a survey that was released
by the state.
By the state.
Right.
Okay. Do we have access to any of that information? Are we working with the state? Is that all you? Because it sounds like you were appointed to lead all of this.
Well, I wasn't appointed to lead it, and I don't want to lead it.
Yeah,
it's
right?
One of those things. No, so yes, Craig Hosmer was a big portion. Even Phyllis, who's no longer on council, has been pushing to keep it moving forward. COVID stunted so many things. I hate it. It did it. But we are back. We just had our first committee meeting. I am on that committee. Myself and another original task force member are both on the committee.
Okay.
And that was our first meeting. We are going to do that survey. I actually reached out to the state, to the individuals. That was through Senator Rader that did that survey through the state for her sexual assault. The actual wording of it was the Sexual Assault Survivors Bill of Rights.
Yes.
That Senator Rader. So part of that was a survey that was sent out. Not a lot of people responded to it. So I'm going to hope that ours gets better response.
Right.
I also would like to not only survey survivors, but our potential jury pool and our other stakeholders that are in the system. So I would love to hear from police officers, from prosecutors, judges, anybody else that's involved in this. What are you seeing as the impediments with victims? I want to see all sides of this. I want to know how victims feel they're being treated, even if they haven't gone through with a prosecution. If you reported it, or what kept you from reporting it? What, you know, all of the things, because the more knowledge we have, the better we can do this. Because I want to know what education needs to be targeted. And that was that original, when we first had our task force, that was one of the ideas that was together of like, we need to understand where are we lacking in our community? Are there certain areas that don't report because of XYZ? I want to bring in more people. I would love to have Christy Love with our group, because I know the homeless population or the unhoused population has a horrible, horrible time with this. I did not realize after speaking with somebody from the LGBTQ community that victims who, it's one of those things where I say we know it, but we don't know it till we hear somebody else say it, that they feel discriminated against when they go to report. And, you know, we assume, like, in your mind, you think, okay, yes, that makes sense. But until you hear somebody who's actually been there and said, though this happened to me, you go, It's very
discriminated against because they weren't helped more or listened to or taken seriously.
Because they weren't seen as a serious victim, or they felt judged because maybe they are trans, maybe they are, you know, whatever they identify as. Maybe they didn't feel like they had the same access or belief if they wanted to come and report a sexual assault. So I'm still learning myself in those things of like, okay, this is a problem in our community. I was hoping that we were better about this, but maybe we're not where we should need to be. I don't want to assume anything. I want to reach out to everybody. I want to know from everybody, where are we failing? Because if I don't know, I can't fix it. So, so yes, we are coming back together. Yes, we have, right now there are, I'm trying to think of how many people are with our committee. It just started. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I believe right now. We definitely want more. But it was us coming together for this first meeting to say, okay, who else do we bring into this? And I mean, we could just keep piling on the recommendations as to who to bring in. So
so you have kind of carte blanche to just add on as many people as you can into this conversation?
Yes, as many people. I feel like, could this come at a better time? No, because look at what's happening with our system, like with Brighton's and the situation going on that, where people are doubting, was his wife even abused? We have people doubting victims. We need to do this now because victims are seeing what's happened with the Depp trial. With what's happening with Brighton's, with what's happening on every level, where victims are being doubted.
Right.
You know, there was a story just recently that was shared on Color 10 about a girl, what was she, 16, and she was raped by a 30-year-old in Louisiana. She got pregnant. She decided to have the child. He found out about the child years later. He's now got sole custody of that child. There was a comment on one of our news feeds where another man here in Springfield, I even looked at his profile to see where he's from, said, well, there must be more to the story here. What more do you need to know? A 16-year-old was raped by a 30-year-old.
Right.
And then somebody else commented and said, oh, well, that, and his response to that was, oh, see, she's crazy. We have people that doubt a victim that was raped at 16 was a victim. Like, there's proof, DNA proof, a 30-year-old raped a 16-year-old. And we question the victim's sanity. And so you see how that feeds into people doubting.
It's the attitudes.
Yes.
And I think that's one of my biggest interests in this story, mm-hmm. is trauma-informed training of the police and the judges and everyone involved with the reporting system. I think that's great. I think that's important.
Right.
But I wanted to do the training for the community.
Yes.
I want my neighbors to know
that
we need to believe people,
yes.
and that it's not their fault. And it's no one, and it's the fault word just needs to be taken out of the equation completely.
I agree. And how secure do you feel as a victim right now? If you were to come forward and report after seeing what the public says about a victim,
I'll spare you this part of the conversation, thanks to the screaming kid who is screwing up my audio. But Janice said, as example, what were you wearing? Why were you there? Why did you go back? Are you sure it was who you said it was because you did agree to go on the date or you did marry them? We still have this idea that you can't be raped if you're married. Your spouse can rape you. Just because you said yes once doesn't mean you said yes always.
All right, so it's quiet.
Okay, cool.
We were talking about the fear that victims have of reporting and the fact that a lot of times a marriage doesn't protect you from being raped from your husband.
Right.
And reporting that. And, you know, a word that triggers me is crazy.
Yes.
When they call you crazy.
Yes.
Because I'm like, yeah, I am crazy. Now that you mention it.
Now that you brought it up.
But it doesn't mean I'm not telling the truth.
Well, having a strong reaction to a trauma is not crazy. That's not, and there's nothing, you know, insanity is not an insult, I guess, is maybe the, you know, can people have a strong reaction to trauma? Yeah, that's normal. That's not crazy. Panic attacks after being traumatized are normal. That's not insanity. That is a normal response to very bad things happening. And the attitude that we have towards victims, and this attitude that we have about what a rapist looks like, it's all wrong. And we want our rapists to be these scary looking people that have a track record and aren't successful and are, you know, what society defines as a loser. And guess what? That's not true.
Right.
Rapists can be successful. Rapists can be in a church every Sunday. They can be up in the pulpit preaching.
Because it's about a power struggle.
It is power.
And it's usually the powerful people who think they can get away with it.
Right.
And those are the successful people in this world.
It is a lot of people in this world. It's an entitlement. And rape is not about sex. It is about power and control. Controlling that victim, owning that victim.
So while this conversation wasn't producing a whole lot of information regarding progress in Springfield, it is as close as I've come to having that aha moment to figure out where we could be more proactive. We talked about the struggle for power, which is a word I've heard enough times to recognize that that might be what is at the core. I'm just going to say, the cause that makes people want to rape. When you don't allow the person that you're with to retain dominion over their own body, you are overpowering them, taking away their voice, their control, taking their power to keep as your own. I think that the opportunity to obtain power is the common denominator in people who rape. We're going to discuss that in future episodes, along with forgiveness and what happens when a person is falsely accused, in more ways that victim survivors can find healing. If you found any of this topic triggering to your emotions, your feelings are a little out of control now, maybe your thoughts are running a million miles a minute, please contact rain.org or call 1-800-656-HOPE. Thank you for joining me. I'm Julie Ballou, and this is Rape the Podcast.